Good morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we'll be discussing friendships. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for George Mason University.
Oh, you got to have friends. The healing's all so strong. You got to have friends to make that day last long. Had some friends, but
we are living in times when relationships within families, personal friendships, and neighborhood involvement are getting to be more and more fragile. Research has shown that maintaining good supportive relationships with our friends, neighbors, and loved ones are vital to our physical and mental well-being. In fact, friends can provide the very best of medicine during these often stressful times. With me today to discuss this subject is Jenny Frederick, a clinical social worker and coordinator of organizational development at the Woodburn Mental Health Clinic in Virginia. Jenny, is friendship natural? Is it a natural need that we as humans experience?
You've heard the statement, people need people. And I think that most people agree on that. And now we have several research studies underlying that people need people for their health, and that people, the more isolated people are, the less healthy they are. We know that people who have isolated themselves from others have 2 to 3 times the risk of premature death. Death before the age of 70 is a premature death. We know that terminal cancer strikes isolated people more often than people that are connected. We know that pregnant women under stress that lack supportive relationships have a 3 times higher chance of having complications during that pregnancy than people with strong supportive relationships. We know that women who can confide in a close friend, in other words, who can really share what's going on with them on a feeling level with a close friend, have much less tendency to become depressed than those that are unable to have that kind of sharing experience. So that we really have now a lot of data on the fact that people who are socially tied in and have connectedness lead healthier lives.
Now, how does one go about determining quality in a friendship or a relationship?
The kinds of things that people list are respect and a mutuality, a give and take, a reciprocal affection and loyalty, where people really reciprocate and balance off in the relationship. Trust. I think trust is a key element in a close friendship, where you can really feel that the other person will not use information about you in anything but a positive way. Stability. Acceptance. If in a close friendship there's a lot of judgmental elements, that's going to deteriorate the quality of that friendship. A friendship should make one feel important. A friend should be somebody we have fun with and relax with. It's not necessarily all a serious thing. We need to have fun, be able to let down our hair, and truly relax with this other person. There has to be some kind of sameness or commonality. People can be different in many areas, but there has to be some areas to bring them close together. They have to feel listened to. In other words, a friend is not only listening, but actively tuning in on all levels of what's going on. And also, and I hear this so often, you have to be able to count on that person. If there's a problem, if there's a need, that you have to have the feeling you can really depend on this person. Those seem to be some of the qualities that differentiate a friendship from an acquaintance.
Our society is constantly changing. How can one avoid becoming isolated in this society?
Yes, Michelle, that's far different situation than existed many decades ago, where people were in extended families, where grandparents helped out the young grandchildren, where church was a very supportive element, where neighborhoods consisted of people that were fairly stable for long periods of time, where Aunt Tilly watched the house across the street for any kind of misgoings on. Today, we have to be much more conscious and take a very active role in building important relationships because of the kind of fragmentation that we ourselves go through as well as those around us. Many neighborhoods today are so transient that people are forming a more formalized network for keeping security at a high premium.
Now, when you say formalized, what do you mean?
People are getting together to form neighborhood watches in Northern Virginia. People getting together in a recognized fashion with a definite agenda and accepting responsibilities on a rotating basis to watch each other's home. That was a very informal thing that occurred a long time ago. People now are getting together to support each other in what we call support groups in the community over issues. One high-risk population are widowers. There's a group that gets together that are recent widowers to talk about issues and problems. No longer can we look to somebody else in the extended family or family friend that has gone through the same thing to really sit down and talk about this issue. So there's, again, a more formalized way of going about it, identifying what the high-risk needs are and helping people come together to really discuss their problems and issues and feelings and to formulate some good, healthy coping strategies.
How important is networking in this day and age?
I think that networking is very important. When I'm doing a program at the center, I really have people evaluate the 20 various categories of relationships or networks and look at who's in those categories. Who are their neighbors? Who are their close friends? Who are the experts, the doctors, the therapists, the technicians, the attorneys, what clubs are they in? What number of clubs? How do they fit in? And to make a list of this, evaluate this not only for quantity, but for quality. How much support are they getting from various people, and where do they need to beef this up? It's a much more, again, a much more conscious process that we need to go through versus the more informal network that occurred many decades ago.
How would a friend fit into the networking scheme?
I see close friendship as the very core of the network. That if we can picture for a moment many circles, the inner circle would be our closest friends, people that we have experienced the same similar qualities that I just mentioned. And then rotating out from that core would be relationships with, say, neighbors, people at work, various helpers, different club members, various doctors, dentists. These are very important too. To have our circle a very broad circle with a number of different networks that we're really relying on. If the support network just has the inner core of close friendships, those people are going to be overwhelmed by the kinds of needs we have. We need to broaden and use those as our base.
Are there differences in friendships between males and females?
I think that what generally we see is that females are more oriented to relationships. A lot of their time and energy goes traditionally into relationships. That they feel more comfortable sharing feelings. That's okay, that's healthy for them to share feelings. Men, even today, a number of them feel that they need to fit into a certain macho mold where you don't talk about what's really going on and you just show a certain toughness or outside resiliency and don't share some of the intimate kinds of feelings that are going on. Men will frequently get together around sports activities or talk about sports. Women will get together and talk about just what's going on in their life and how things feel. And what we do know is that from studies is that people who can give and take advice in a relationship have better health. People that feel they got to keep it all in and deal with it themselves are not as healthy.
Does the same concept apply to children? Is there a need for them to network as well?
Absolutely. One of the things that we look at in a child coming into the clinic, where does a child have friends? Are they connected? Do they have a best friend? Do they have several different friends? How do they interact socially? The child that's more isolated has more need to be concerned in terms of prognosis than the child that is getting along with people around him. So that's certainly something that we pay attention to very, very early on.
Can you outgrow a friendship?
Yes, you can. And often you have to give yourself permission to fire friends where the friendship is no longer working. That's not a light suggestion. It can be a painful thing to go through. But one grows in different areas. Friends can be best college friends and suddenly 10 years later have very little in common and be going in very different directions and not really have the kind of vitality and energy that existed in that relationship.
You are involved in a program entitled Building Supportive Relationships at the Woodburn Center. Tell me about that.
We've done a couple programs. We did a program one morning and we had about 40 people attend. And I'm doing now a smaller group, an ongoing group with four sessions for people that want to look at this closer, how they can build more support into their relationships and more relationships into their life. Some of the people that are currently in the group are going to be moving, and they want to know how they can forego some of the pain of relationships that didn't work out.
And how do you do that?
Well, one of the things that we're doing in the group is to really examine the elements and qualities of the person and the relationship where it didn't work. And I think the clearer you are on what made that not work for you or why you did not decide to continue to pursue that, the better able you are to then establish healthier situations for yourself.
One last question, Jenny. Can you give me some guidelines for expanding a supportive relationship?
Yes, I have several that are recommendations that we discuss in our groups. The first is to be assertive in approaching others that you would like to know better. You've got to pretend that the other person is shy and take the first step. Secondly, to work through barriers in past relationships so that you're freer to get involved with others. Another is to let people know how much you value them in word and deed, to really let them know that you care. Another thing is the best way to have a good friend is to be a good friend, that you really need to examine how reciprocal your relationships are. You need to identify consciously the qualities that you value in the relationship and make a concerted effort to seek people out that fit into that value system. Involve yourself in some self-help support groups if you're real upset about certain things. Yet be creative in letting others know you. That to be a friend, you have to reveal a lot of yourself, to let people know you in a closer way. So those are some of the suggestions that I have in expanding friendships and supportive relationships.
We've run out of time. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for being on Frankly Speaking.
Michelle, thank you very much for inviting me. I very much enjoyed our discussion.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Jean Hyde. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.